You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
This week, the government released a series of options for public consultation on reforming the emissions trading scheme. The emissions trading scheme is a market run by the government where polluters buy carbon credits to emit. However, a review of the scheme by the Climate Change Commission says that the current settings of the ETS may threaten New Zealand's climate goals. To discuss the ETS reforms and the options that are being floated, Amelia Sullivan spoke to Green Party co-leader and Climate Change Minister James Shaw and started by asking him what the biggest problems are with the ETS that the Climate Change Commission would like to see fixed.
Well, the Commissioner worried that at the moment we're planting so many forests that we'll have more forest offsets than we will demand for those forests, because as pollution from industry comes down, then there's a point in the early 2030s where those two lines intersect, right? And so what that means is that they could see a price collapse in terms of the price of pollution. That leads to two things, one of which is that the signal to polluting industries is actually it's cheaper for them to buy cheap forest offsets than it is for them to actually cut their pollution, so that would be bad. And the second thing is that it would be bad for landowners who have invested in forestry on the assumption of a stable or rising carbon price. And so that's fundamentally the problem that they've asked us to look into.
Of the four options that have been floated, one of them would see two separate emissions trading schemes, one for removals like tree planting and one for actual emissions reductions. How would this work?
Well, at the moment, you have one market that combines the two. And so essentially what that means is that every time someone plants enough trees to soak up a ton of carbon dioxide, the government automatically issues that landowner a what we call a New Zealand unit, right, which is essentially a permit to emit a ton of pollution into the atmosphere. So when you have people kind of piling into forestry, as you do at the moment, that generates an unlimited number of pollution permits, which technically means you can have an unlimited amount of pollution. And so by separating the two, you're just managing the supply and demand. So what you're saying to companies who put pollution into the atmosphere is, well, actually, we're going to limit the amount that you can use forest offsets, but you're going to have to work out with each other how to fit within the total amount of pollution that we put into the atmosphere every year, and that amount will be declining every single year from now until 2050 when we hit net zero, and then the forestry side. What you're saying is, well, actually, it is really important that we take carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere because we've put so much up there. We are going to need forests into the future. So what you do is you create what I would call a sequestration market, i.e. a kind of a market for drawing down carbon dioxide from the atmosphere and storing it in forests and wetlands and other forms.
One of the options also suggests selling credits to overseas buyers, although this is one of the options that is said to have a limited effect. One of the issues with that option, though, is that New Zealand units may not meet the international standards for carbon credits. Do you know why this is?
Well, part of that is because the international standards themselves are still evolving, and our emissions trading scheme was established in 2008. So essentially what that's saying is that there is a risk. It's not 100%, but there is a risk that the design of our sort of domestic market settings, if you like, is ahead of or inconsistent with where the international requirements land. And so, if you were to kind of open it up internationally, then we would just need to make sure that those things were consistent, because there's fundamentally a credibility issue that you'd need to meet.
The option for having two emissions trading schemes is the one that experts and officials say will be most likely to reach our climate objectives. Do you know what option or combination of options you prefer at this stage?
I don't know. I do have an open mind about it. The consultation document does flag the kind of risks and opportunities with each of the four options. And they're also not mutually exclusive, like you say. Like you could do, you know, you could kind of combine bits of those. But we do want to hear from people. That's the whole point of a consultation. And we are aware, you know, there may be information out there that we don't currently have, which could change our views during the course of the consultation. So it is really important that, you know, people do have their say.
And this is all coming with the background of another carbon auction where the bids weren't large enough and so the auction failed. Do you think that the announcement of this consultation into reforming the ETS will provide some stability and confidence for future carbon auctions and maybe see these credits finally be sold, or are these credits piling up with little demand to buy them with each failed auction?
Well, I think that, well, it's not kind of an either-or situation. I think that we will get to more certainty for the market over time, but it'll take us probably until the end of the year because we've got the consultation out for the next couple of months. Then it'll take some time for the officials to work through that and make recommendations to an incoming government. The incoming government will have to decide on the policy option that it prefers the most. And it's about that point, I think, that the market will kind of go, okay, you know, here are the new settings. Here's what it looks like. So I would imagine that there will still be, you know, quite a lot of uncertainty over the course of the coming months. And having said that, you know, we do know that there is an oversupply of units in the ETS at the moment. And so that is, one of the primary reasons why people aren't buying units in the auction is because, you know, if you know that there's an oversupply, the idea of buying additional units, you know, isn't necessarily a great strategy. So I think that that sort of matter of oversupply is already manifesting itself, and that's, you know, the reason why, that's one of the main reasons why the auctions haven't been clearing. So I can't speculate on what's going to happen during the course of the rest of this year, where you've still got two auctions to go, but it wouldn't surprise me if that pattern held for at least a while.
And as you say, the execution of any changes to the ETS will be a matter for an incoming government. Would these changes have been able to kick in with this government if the recommendations and consultation were released, say, after the first failed carbon auction this year, or is this going to take a whole lot more time to implement than that?
No, it will take more time because most of those options require some form of legislative change, and that, you know, usually takes about 18 months to work its way through the system as well. Having said that, usually once a government has settled on a you know, course of action, that, you know, even if it hasn't actually gone through legislation, usually the market kind of responds to that and kind of says, okay, well, at least we know what the direction of travel is, and then where the legislation goes, you know, is usually reasonably certain, although, you know, things do change during the course of the legislative process, but they're usually at the margins. So, you know, like I say, I think there'll be quite a lot of uncertainty for the remaining months of this year, but I think by the time we get to the end of the year, we'll have a pretty clear sense of direction, even though the legislative program will then take another sort of year and a half or so to work its way through.
That was Amelia Sullivan speaking to James Shaw in our weekly chat with the Green Party co-leader.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.